Blog Talk Radio.
When they mention the best, I kill songs, I'm ill, I'm built strong. I'm above most these rappers, I'm standing with stilts on. They see me still here and they ask if he's still on. Without a question, he's a legend, the skills are still strong. Need a boost to make me better, I can better the booth. I better other soldiers in the field like medical troops. I better the youth, the proof, I could never be you. I see my future real clear like I'm ahead of the truth. I'm so dope, they get addicted to me. So I don't write rhymes, I have to go prescription or free. I keep it hot, every drop, by any means necessary. You might be good, but consider me legendary.
Go, say what you want, corporate we start. You're witnessing a legend in the making. Go, say what you want, corporate we start. You're witnessing a legend in the making.
Well, good evening. Welcome, welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Diamond in the Rough show. For those of you who've noticed, we actually took a week off because we had to revamp some of our equipment. We're all excited. Everything's ready to go. And, yes, we have some exciting guests coming up in the next few weeks. Today I'm real excited. I have Papa Soul all the way coming to us from the Windy City, Chicago. I can't wait to get him on this show, and he'll be calling in a few minutes, and we'll get to talk to him. Incredible talent. He does his own cinematography, he's a writer, he's an artist, he sings, he writes his own music, he plays his own music, he does voiceovers. Just an incredible person that I'm sure you're going to get a real kick out of getting to know and to hear about. Yes, Motivational Monday, it's here. How exciting. We want everybody to think about the fact that, yes, we have the holiday season coming, and if for some reason every time the holiday comes, all I hear is people saying, oh, I cannot wait for the holidays to be over. I'm so tired of Christmas and so tired of Thanksgiving, and I think we're kind of missing the point there. Having Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's is not about being stressed out or tired. It's about reconnecting with family, those that we love, those that we, for some reason, maybe haven't been able to hang around with as much throughout the year. So if we get too boggled up in the tinsel and the glitter and the turkey and the stuffing, by the time the family's around the table or around the Christmas tree, you are so tired and so frazzled that if all you're thinking is, I cannot wait for this day to be over, you've totally missed the point. That's not what it's about. What I'd like you to think about is this Christmas holiday and this Thanksgiving is to really reflect on the things that you're grateful for. The family that you have, the loved ones, the good times, the bad times, all the things that happened to you this year. Reflect back on it, but not in the light of anger or resent or even feeling bad for yourself. Step outside the picture for a moment and maybe try to see if maybe some good came out of it. I know some of us maybe have lost loved ones, and it's very hard to have a positive spin when a loved one passes, especially if it's unexpected. But at least reflect on the time that you did have with them. This is a person you cared about a lot and you loved a lot and was really a big part of your family. Just think how grateful you were, how lucky you were to have them in your life and to have spent time with them and to have them be part of who you are and who you're going to continue to be. And you can make the commitment to keep that person's memory alive so that other people will not forget them and will be there in your memories and in the stories that you share with them. Also, if you've had some hard times because of the economic situation that this country has gone through this year, maybe it's a time to get back to simpler ways of life. Maybe it's time to, instead of always going out to eat, we can sit down and maybe cook a meal with our family. That's something that I'm thinking of working back on because I think it's a real opportunity to bond and to hang out and talk and find out what's going on in the day or in that person's lives. Sometimes we forget that dinner at the table is really important. I know for us, we kind of got away from it a little bit this year because our lives were going in so many different directions. But I think the main reason that my family, my children and I, even though they're grown now, are so close is because we always made an effort to at least share one meal a day around the dinner table. Even if it was something simple, even if it was just macaroni and cheese out of a box and hot dogs, we wanted to spend the time to have the kids talk and interact and share their day. Just to let them know that mom and dad or stepmom cared and were there and we're going to be able to listen to them. I think that kind of set up the groundwork for us to have the opportunity where our kids would talk to us, would let us know what was going on in their life, even when it wasn't something that maybe we as a parent really wanted to hear, but it was important that we got to hear it because at least we were able to give them advice and counsel and maybe give them the opportunity to think about their actions and to think about what they were going to do in life and just to be able to decide what they were going to do in the future. So the reality is that the one thing you want to focus on this year is really, as it comes to a close, because we are like 6-7 weeks left in 2009, can't even believe that. I remember when the year 2009 was like something out of a science fiction magazine. But the reality is that there's a few weeks left in the year. So it's a time for you to reflect and think about what it is that maybe you wanted to do differently, what are people that maybe you wanted to reach out for that you didn't, or maybe self-improvement things that you wanted to do with you or with your family or in your home, your job, your life in general that you didn't get quite around to. Well, now's the opportunity to do it. You can think about it, reflect on it. Try to reevaluate what it is that you're going to do or that you want to do that's going to make you happy. Because remember, it's all about the fact that you need to be happy. And when we talk about being happy, a lot of people think of it as being selfish, of being me-ish. Like, oh, well, if all I do is think about me, then that means I'm not taking this time to be with my family or with my husband or my wife or my significant other, or it's taking away from my children or my job. It's not like that. Especially women have this knack for thinking that if they take time for themselves, the world kind of fall apart. The reality is, ladies, I hate to tell you, it doesn't. It continues to rotate. It continues to go on. But the reality is that if you take the time for you, to love yourself, to take care of yourself, to really think about the things that you want to do for you and to act on them. It's going to make you a better person for everybody else around you. For the guys, too, especially for men. I see sometimes men get so boggled down in working and providing for their family if they're the primary bread earner, and they get so bogged down in kid activities, spouses, themselves, their job, that they don't have time to do the things they want to do. And that's not a good thing, because it's going to create resentment. It's going to make you realize that maybe you missed the boat on something, some things that maybe you wanted to do in life and you didn't. And it's not good if that's going to create resentment towards your family, and it will. And that resentment is going to turn into health issues, going to turn into high blood pressure, maybe a little overweight, you're eating too much to deal with the stress. Maybe you wind up having hypertension or heart disease. Not good things to have, especially if you've worked so hard your whole life to provide for your family and you're looking forward to their retirement, whatever it is that you want to do. It's not a good thing if you don't take care of yourself, that when the time comes for retirement, you aren't in good shape, you're not healthy, you're spending that hard-earned money on doctors, specialists. So it's a good time now to reflect on what you want to do with your life. The reality is an hour a day is not really that much. You can make the time for yourself. Even if you can't have the whole hour, maybe split it up, 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there. Whatever it takes for you to be able to spend time with yourself, reflecting your thoughts, relax, work out, play baseball, basketball, I don't know, whatever you as a guy want to do. Same thing with a woman. If you want to go work out at the gym, take a walk, paint, be an art museum, whatever it is, it's going to make you feel good about yourself. It's going to make you feel recharged, energized, and ready to go tackle whatever it is you need to tackle for the week. Now's the time to do it. I wanted to use that theme for Motivational Monday because we do have Thanksgiving coming up, and I know a lot of women are running around getting ready for the relatives or for the travel, or even the teenagers are getting ready to, I don't know, go back home if they're in college, or, you know, taking time off from school to hang out with family, and it can be a very stressful time. So put all that aside, put the stress aside, simplify it. If the economy is an issue and money has been tight, simplify it. You know, instead of the huge 50, 40-pound turkey like we have to have in our family, and it sounds like an exaggeration, but we sometimes wind up with two or three turkeys because there's so many people. Maybe you do need to scale it down. Make it a 10-pound turkey, a 15-pound turkey. Maybe, you know, homemade stuffing, or maybe, I don't know, just simplify it. Cut back on the trimming so it doesn't take as much time. Don't worry so much about making everything handmade so that everybody can be so impressed with your cooking abilities. I think they're already impressed with who you are and the type of person that you are. So I don't think you really have to go overboard and show them what an amazing genius you are in the kitchen. I'm sure they already know it. But the main thing is for you to enjoy the day. Really relax. Have fun with it. Make the guys do the cooking for once. Maybe they should be the ones in the kitchen, and maybe the ladies can be in there watching the football or the Macy's Day Parade. Whatever it takes to make your life more relaxing in the sense so that you can actually enjoy your family. Remember, children grow up very fast. They get married. They move away. They have babies of their own. And then you can't see them as much. Older relatives, you know, can get old, pass away, and then you don't have them around. So take the time to get to know them, ask them questions, find out about their family history, what amazing things they've done. There's a lot of crazy things that our relatives might have done that we didn't think that they could do, because when we got into their life, kind of old, and we're thinking, well, Grandpa can't possibly do that. Well, I'm pretty sure Grandpa was probably the one jumping out of an airplane to protect our freedom. Or maybe Grandma was, I don't know, a professional baseball player like they used to be back in the day. You never know what your grandparents did if you don't ask. And sometimes they think that what they have to say isn't interesting. You never know. It would surprise you. So on that note, get motivated. Get up. Enjoy life. Don't take yourself too serious. Don't take life too serious. That's what it's all about. And that's why my guest is such an amazing match for our theme today, because he really likes to have fun with what he does. And we have him now, so we're going to bring him into the studio. Hello, are you there?
Hey.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to the show. How's it going?
It's going good. I was just kind of hanging in, listening to that great message you were just giving. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am so glad to have you. Now, first of all, I am a stickler for pronouncing people's names correctly. So what are you professionally known as?
Papa Soul.
Mm-hmm.
But my real name is Nisakura.
Nisakura.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty. I like that. Is that Japanese?
It's actually Nigerian. It's
Nigerian.
Yes.
That's
it means
awesome.
God's
what
way
is
the only way.
It means what?
It means God's way is the only way.
That's awesome. What an amazing name.
Thank you.
So I have to ask you, Papa Soul, because I absolutely love the whole concept of Papa Soul, because you just got the soul part cornered. I was listening to some of your songs earlier and some of your beats and everything. Now, I have to ask you, because I know I've had some artists in the past where
mm-hmm.
they have beats that are provided for them. Because someone made them on a machine, and or some that they've written themselves. But you actually use your own beat.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what instruments do you play?
Well, I play a little guitar. I play a little piano. I basically compose a lot of music on keyboards and, you know,
mm-hmm.
some of the, you know, the higher grade keyboards that are used in professional production, and have a lot
right.
of fun with that.
Now, when did you get started with this?
I've been doing this. I've actually begun writing since I was about maybe 15 or 16. I didn't
mm-hmm.
get an opportunity to really get my own equipment until, you know, I kind of learned the process better and was able to write some music and invest and land it in some pretty interesting ways. I finally landed some equipment of my own to begin doing some of my own production work.
So it wasn't like you actually had the opportunity to take music lessons when you were younger, or did you actually have professional training when you were younger?
No, I didn't really have a lot of professional training. I mean, I took it in school because I was really interested in the classes of music. But, you know, I didn't really get a chance to, you know, have a lot of, schooling for it, or, you know, I didn't have a, you know, personal, you know, groomer or anything like that. I kind of did a lot of learning on my own and just kind of listening to different sounds and kind of having a musical voice that I kind of really wanted to express and just kind of finding my way around the different mm-hmm. instruments.
Now, that's amazing to me because I actually know someone else that has done the same thing. He had a very rough upbringing and he
mm-hmm.
kind of self-taught himself a lot. And it just blows my mind away when I see people doing that because I've always been fascinated with the piano, never really had the opportunity to learn it. And I actually took lessons a little while ago. And for me, it's work. Like, I have to work at it. I mean, if I go a couple of weeks without a lesson or practicing, I go back to square one where it's gone. And
yeah.
it just boggles my mind when you have someone like yourself that has won the discipline, the desire, but the talent to sit there and basically self-teach yourself how to play instruments. Now, did you find that it came naturally to you, or was it something that you really had to work at?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I still have to work at getting better. You know, there are a lot of, you know, there are thousands of chords and a lot of different techniques. It's always something to learn in music. So, you know, as a student of music, I'm never really done learning. But I would say what came natural to me is, I guess, the music that I play or the music that I produce, because I kind of get melodies in my head all the time. And, you know, I have a real desire to kind of voice that, you know, get that music out of you. It's almost like you're pregnant with a song, if you will, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and I know that sounds interesting, but, you know,
no,
you really
I
get
absolutely
a lot
of get where you're coming from. It's like giving birth to a product. I know for me, when I sketch or when I write, that's exactly the analogy that comes to mind, because you are birthing this creation and you have
absolutely.
To put time and effort into it. And I know it's very hard for people that are not creative or don't participate in the creative process to understand how we could compare it to giving birth to a child.
Exactly.
But that's exactly how it is. There's so much love and dedication and just commitment to that project that you do get I mean, even in film, when you're creating film, because I know you do that as well. It is. It's an amazing concept to bring something from, like you said, this melody in your head, deeper instrument, to actually where people can hear it and go, wow, that's amazing.
Go ahead.
You are way too polite. No, what I wanted to ask you was that, okay, you have this creative streak in you now. How did your parents feel about it? Were they creative too, or was it just one of those flukes of nature where you're like the only creative one in the family?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I said, were your parents also as creative in
music and stuff.
Or was it something that you were kind of like that little fluke of nature that happens sometimes in families where you're the one with all the talent and all this creativity?
Well, my folks are also somewhat musically inclined. They'll tell you that I'm kind of on the deep end of it. I kind of like, you know, really ran for it and, you know, tried to pursue it like, you know, full speed. My folks, my mom has a beautiful voice, and my dad plays instruments as well. You know, so there's some talent that runs through the family. I'm a fanatic about it, you know, so you know, I guess maybe that's why, you know, I took to it a bit more.
Right, but the thing is, though, you talk about it as being a fanatic. Now, was this something that you did when you were very young? Like, did it just come in? You know how some kids will play with their little Tonka trucks or, you know, they're out rollerblading or riding their bike? Was this something that you would purposely go out of your way to do, even when no one was asking you to do it?
Oh, yeah. I got on a whole lot of people's nerves when I was younger. Yeah, just playing music. I mean, I would be in the classroom. I would be in art class, you know, playing AP. You know, I was in AP art, you know, painting and drawing. And it was a predominantly white school. And while everyone else was really trying to kind of get their, you know, their art material, I'd be in there just banging on the table, just in my own little world, just bobbing to different melodies in my head. I had no instruments at the time. It's just something that I knew was in me, and I desperately wanted to get that out of me and express it. So yeah, it began, you know, early on, and pretty much as a child, bang, I don't care if it was pots and pans or, you know, just anything, I would always, you know, have that sense of melody and just wanting to voice that music within.
Now, did your teachers pick up on your ability with music real from the beginning?
You said, did who pick up on it from the beginning?
Your teachers. Did your teachers, your music teachers, pick up on the fact that you were that musically inclined and talented?
Yeah, a lot of, you know, you would get some teachers, you would get some teachers that would say, I'm going to refer you personally to Mr. Bird, our music teacher, our band leader, because I'm tired of you playing a solo in English. You know, so...
Oh, my goodness, that reminds me of one time that I actually got, I'm going to date myself, I got sent outside of the room and had to stand outside because I thought I was jamming with the Beatles. I was banging away on my desk with my two pencils, and I was bringing it home like Ringo Starr. And I guess the teacher had told me a couple of times to stop, and I did not hear that woman one bit. Next thing you know, I'm getting tapped on the shoulder and getting kicked out of the room. I had no idea why. And I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, stop making that hard noise. In my mind, I thought I was kicking it. She thought I was giving the poor woman a headache.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's good to, you know, also be able to talk with you because, you know, you kind of speak the creative language. You're multi-talented. You know, you're very articulate when it comes to all things creative. And, I can remember, you know, just being told I had a short attention span in a lot of different classes. So it's funny that you relate in that way. That's cool.
Yeah, it is because you get in the zone. It's funny. People don't understand. Our creative people, I've seen it in some of my kids that are like that too. When we get in the zone, people think we're like purposely blowing them off, and we are not. The house could blow up, which is kind of funny because I used to work in law enforcement, so it was very... thin rope to walk to constantly stay focused on, okay, I'm working as a police officer. I can't be creative right now to be able to not get myself killed or to drive in. You know what I mean? Because you have to stay so focused. But when I'm in the zone, I'm in the zone, and I'm not blowing anybody off. It's just that the creative process, that's how it is. And we get so enthralled into what we're doing, we literally can tune the whole world out because we're so into it. Now, I need to ask you, because I saw your creation there on YouTube, which I thought was hysterical. You have got to tell me what was going through your mind when this popped in there, and can you explain to our listeners a little bit about that? But before you do,
mm-hmm.
for our listeners, if you have any questions for Papa Soul, the call-in line is 347-989-1473. Again, that's 347-989-1473. Or you can log on to our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman. Woman is spelled W-M-N. You can log into our chat room, or you can actually call us directly through the internet if you have Skype. So back to your question. Oh, and real quick, I'd like to send a shout-out to Mountain Man, who's my co-host. He's not with us because he had surgery a couple of weeks ago. Surgery went well. He's actually doing rehab now, so he hopefully will be back in a week or so. And I'm very excited to hear that. All the listeners have been sending him well wishes and are hoping for a speedy recovery. So, Papa Soul, back to you. How did you come up with this concept, and explain to our listeners what the concept is?
Well, the concept is a musical, almost like an animated, you know, figure show. They're little characters that I kind of constructed and drew and designed. And the concept is the Can Do Band is the name of this animated band, and their duty is to always deliver a song, but they're kind of like action song heroes, but they always mm-hmm. fall into a lot of different adventures, just a whole lot of espionage and all types of laughs. And the main thing is just incorporating a lot of humor and just maintaining the interest of the viewer, because it was designed to bring more attention to the music. I've always been told that my music is very visual, and that you know, it's very unique. And I kind of wanted to you know, kind of be behind the scenes and give the music a different voice without taking away from the voice that it has already. So I kind of just wanted to basically put a different face to it, but maintain the same sound. You know, and to kind of bring people into my creative world a lot more. So, you know, I came up with those characters, and I had so much fun. It was just a ball. I would be writing it and laughing at the same time. I don't know who has more fun, the person watching it or me just, you know, being silly creating it.
Oh, I'm telling you, it was so freaking funny. And for me, it was even funnier because at that time I was having this horrendous toothache because I had to have root canal. It was actually my wisdom tooth. And trust me, I was not in the mood to laugh at anything. And I'm usually, you know, pretty good with the pain, threshold pain. Not this mm-hmm. time. I was not having it. I was not a happy camper. And, of course, my husband hears me cracking up. as I'm walking, he comes in here like, oh my God, are you all right? He thought I was crying. I was like, I was crying all right, but I was laughing so hard because I was like, this is freaking hysterical. You had me dying. I was like, how did you ever come up with these characters? And they were just so funny. That's what got me the most, that they were just so funny. And then, of course, to find out that you did the animation on it, you said?
Yes, and thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm so glad that you know, that you laughed at it and everything. And one of the best compliments to me is when someone is not in a laughing mood before they mm-hmm. watch it, and then afterward they're laughing, because even my own mom, she experienced some surgery recently. She's doing fine now, you know, praise be to God, she's doing much better now. But she said that she cracked up, and it was like right after she had a surgery, and she was laughing so hard, and she said that it was like medicine to her. So I guess it's also just special for it to be, in addition to it being creative and a whole lot of fun for me, it can be actually therapeutic in a way.
It can be therapeutic, and the thing that I like is that it's funny because I see it as a series, because you do have it as a series for our right. listeners. If you log on to the segment page on my Blog Talk Radio, I actually put the link on there, and you can actually click on it and see the first episode. But you can actually go to YouTube. And what's your channel name on that?
The channel name is it's www, of course, you know, HTTP, /, all that. And then www.youtube.com/user/Saki, S-A-K-I. KIETRUE, Psyche True.
Yeah, and it's, like I said, that's the name. And if not, you can go onto the segment page where Papa Soul's up there. You can see his picture smiling away. And you can log in there and see that. I'm telling you, the thing that got me is that I really visualize this almost as a, not only can it be something that can be for kids, but it can be for adults as well. Because
right.
of the fact of the message. I mean, you have a positive message attached to this. Because a lot of times you see stuff that, okay, it's funny, but there's no depth to it, no consistency. It's just silliness. But in yours, there's actually a message about teamwork, about hard work, about defending each other, like the episode with the cat, which had me dying. Because, listeners, you have got to see this, that one line where he's like, did you have the million, whatever amount of million dollars? And he's like, million dollars? I don't even have money for the battery and the flashlight.
Right.
I was laughing so hard. My husband was like, I can't, because now I'm laughing and I'm holding on to my cheek like, oh my gosh, this is so funny. And I actually had my husband sit down and watch it. And my husband has a real weird sense of humor. Stuff doesn't really make him, like, belly laugh. It has to be something really good. And when he was watching the ninja episode, he was literally cracking up. Like, he's like, who comes up with this stuff? This is so funny. And then what blew his mind the most was when I told him, well, you do realize that one person did the music, did the singing, did all the voices, all the drawing, all the filming, all the animation. And he's like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm like, I am serious. One person did all of this. And it took us a while of listening to it before you could actually figure out that it was the same person doing the voices. And we're real nosy. We've gotten trained to be able to pick stuff like that up. The average person would have been blown away because they're so different, especially the girl. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Sheila.
Sheila, I was like, oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe how funny that was. So how did that idea pop into your head? Was it just from listening to your music?
Well, yeah, it was from listening to the music. And also, for a while, I've been wanting to do, like, you know, like a little skit show, you know, something that was funny that was kind of draws you into the creative world. I've been wanting to do it for a while, and I had a lot of different ideas run past and, you know, some things. The main thing is that when I did it, I wanted it to have a, you know, like you said, a sense of consistency. I wanted it to be something that was clear as far as the way it came across and mostly, you know, be funny and entertaining. So I kept, one of the standards that I always hold myself by is I say, okay, if it's not interesting to you, it's not going to be interesting to anyone else. So I had to kind of really go in and, you know, really be free and willing to do what's consistent to the creative process, you know, even if it's, you know, taking on some different characters that no one's ever heard me do before. And with that in mind, I really came up with something that, you know, I was really glad to share.
I'm telling you, it was a great product, and the fact that, you know, you got it up on YouTube. And the thing that gets me is that when you're done seeing the first episode, you're like, okay, what happens next? It's one of these things where you want to see the characters again because they're funny and there's a storyline to it. And you can't wait for the big boss for someone to dope slap them because he's always yelling at these poor guys, make sure you get the stuff done. So it's good because it makes, I mean, these are animated characters that you've hand-drawn, yet you make them real enough that the person, the viewer, is interested in them, and they want to know what happens next, and they want to make sure that the cat gets saved and the ninjas get their butts whooped because it was just so good and it's just so funny. So, yeah, definitely was an amazing product. Now, I also have to ask you, you also do voiceovers, true?
Oh, yeah, and before I forget, one thing I wanted, the last thing I wanted to say about the Can Do Band, before I go into the voiceovers, I learned that each of those characters are a part of my personality. And I wanted to mention that specifically because there's something about the boss, you know, who makes sure that everyone does what they're supposed to do, that kind of overseeing aspect. And then there's Kusi, which is kind of, you know, hi, y'all, how's everything going? You know, he's kind of
I love Kusi. I can, like, I just look at him and go, bless your heart. You just, yeah, if you weren't for Sheila, you'd be in trouble all the time.
All the time, you know. He's really laid back. He's kind of naive, but he has a really good heart, you know. And then there's Sheila. Sheila's, you know, she's kind of a sassy one. My inspiration for her was, you know, maybe some of my sisters or just kind of a lot of, put together of a lot of different ladies that I've come to meet and stuff. You know, she's very lovable, but a little pushy, but really good heart, you know.
Right.
And then there's Percy. Percy's just like a cat, Percy. You know, it's Percy, play baby, ow, you know. He's just always
just hearing
trouble,
his
you know?
Voice, when I saw the cat and he started talking, no, the rapping cat, I was like, no, he didn't. And I was laughing my butt off going, oh, my God, this is so funny.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I learned a lot about myself in the process as well, you know, and they continue to grow and, you know, they continue to develop his characters as well. And I try to always introduce a new character with each show to keep challenging myself creatively and give people, you know, something more to look forward to. But yes,
well,
the voiceover.
You've managed to do that very well, and that's another thing people might not understand. When we're creative, we do that. People don't realize that creative people really put a lot of themselves out there, whether it's creating a character for a movie, or whether you're creating a character that you're writing about, whether it's poetry, whether it's a song, a beat, a track, in your case, you know, the animation, the characters that you've created. It is literally parts of all of us, and we do have that. And for us to actually put it out there and then to have to deal with the feedback, because I know a lot of people have that where they have different personalities that they have to survive in life because,
right.
you know, we have to act differently in certain situations. But they're not putting it out there for the people to give you that favorite button or the thanks button, you know what I mean? So it's very difficult, and it takes a lot out of you when you're doing that and you're constantly under the microscope. And sometimes people can be kind of cruel because I don't understand why. If you're not creative, that's all well and good, but I don't understand why you would want to tear someone down that is. And it is. It's a labor of love, something that you're putting out there, and it is a part of you. And it does
right,
take
absolutely.
A lot to be able to do that. Now, I have to ask you real quick before we go into the voiceovers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you come, how many brothers and sisters do you have in your family?
I have two sisters.
Mm-hmm. Now, in that dynamics, were you always the one that was making everybody crack up, or were you the one with the voices coming out? And did you exhibit that at home, or was it just something that came on later as you got older and was able to focus more on that?
Oh yeah, my creativity it has like a snowballing effect. The more I do, the more that comes out. But I have to say that it started a lot in the family. You know, just kind of I'm the youngest in the family. I'm the only boy, but I also kind of like to, you know, kind of make people laugh. And my sister Tamara, her and I. We used to just have so much fun, just act really silly. And, you know, a lot of times, I think another reason why I did something that was also user-friendly for children as well as adults is because a lot of the better times that we remember come from our youth, you know. And we have a great time as adults. Don't get me wrong, it's a lot of fun to be grown, you know. But at the same time, you know, it's we don't really question it as far as like thinking of something youthful and fun and entertaining because, you know, when we think of children, you know, it's we don't question it in the terms of can we trust this? Do we like this? Do we know this? It's kind of instantly welcomed, you know, so our guards are down and we feel more welcome and we're closer to, you know, just kind of letting it in. So you use that but also appeal to adults and, you know, I find it more, you know, a lot more entertaining to myself. But yeah, my sister and I, we used to just have a ball cracking up and laughing and stuff and everything. And really, all of us can be pretty good, you know, at keeping the chuckles going.
You know, and it's funny too because you hit on a really important point that I try to get across on my show that. For some reason, when we grow up, we really forget how to have fun. We get so serious about everything. And people sometimes confuse the childlike qualities with childish, and that's very different. When someone's childish, they're hurting people. Childlike is, like you said, that fascination, that just merriment at things like what you've created with the Can't Do Gang, and the fact that, I mean, the Can't Do Band, and that people can have fun and enjoy it, and they forget that so much, that they forget, it's almost like they build this wall,
and
they forget about that. And that's the thing that amazes me about children, their ability to laugh at the silliest little things. Be able to, one minute they could be crying hysterically because they bumped their head, and then someone will do something to make them laugh, and they're cracking up, and it's forgotten. Whereas we adults sometimes like, oh my goodness, well, that person hurt me back in 1973, so I'm not talking to them. You know, it's like, and you don't even remember what it was about anymore.
Right.
And that's what I like about what you did. It's just letting people have fun again. And
right.
Sharing your creative concept, and you could tell that that's part of your personality, that goodness that comes through, because that is definitely a lot of love in that music and in what you've done.
Thank you so much. That means
a lot. Oh, you're welcome. Now, you were going to talk about the voiceover. So you were doing this at home with your family, and I laugh because we do that with our kids too, and our kids, they come up with the weirdest things sometimes, where people, if they saw us, they'd be like, you guys are really crazy. But it's fun. You know, it's ways that we joke around, and it's our thing. That's what we do. So how did you go from doing that at home or playing music in school to where you realized this is something that I'd like to do professionally for the rest of my life?
Well, I did a lot of traveling with, you know, friends and band groups and stuff before, and I think I just realized that I wanted to do what it is that I love. And I remember, I don't know, I guess just somewhere along the lines you kind of choose what it is you want to kind of stand for. And I remember being really, really distraught one day, just really upset. And, I kind of that feeling where, you know, you're kind of out of options and you kind of don't know where to go next, and you're feeling a little bit hopeless. Or a lot bit hopeless. And I remember when I was feeling that way, I sat on the bed and I heard some music. It must have been something from, it was either Stevie Wonder or Marvin Gaye or something from Motown. It was something from that era. And I literally leaped from my body spiritually, kind of just jumped into that melody. And it was so therapeutic. It was so, it was such a great just escape, you know, and, you know, not like, you know, afraid to face reality type of escape, but kind of like a hit the reset button and refresh type of escape, you know. And I said in that moment, I said, I want to be able to do that for people, you know. And that was before I even learned that I was, you know, decent or pretty good at it, you know. But I guess...
But that's an amazing catalyst for you to want to start your career. Because, you know, you hear the cuckoo cutter, I don't want to be rich. I want to buy my mom a house. I want to have a nice car. But when you're coming at it from this angle, and it shows in your music, it shows in what you're doing, that there's this desire to reach out to people and make them laugh and make them feel good. And it just it's just an amazing concept, because there's not enough of that nowadays. It's just like everything's about the money and the material goods. But when you're reaching out to somebody, it's kind of like, I remember someone told me a long time ago, I can't even remember who it was, said if you do what you love and you do it with love, the rest will follow.
Exactly.
Because you can have someone that's making millions of dollars, but they wake up in the morning and go, oh, my God, I got to go to this place again. What kind of, you know, there's no quality of life to that at all.
Right.
I want to actually have our listeners hear to one of your songs before we go talk to you about the voiceover. So I'm going to play this song. It's All Your Love.
Sure.
We'll have it play, and then you can explain a little bit to us about it. So I'm going to mute you so that we don't get any feedback. And then for our listeners, this is All Your Love by Papa Soul.
Your trust, who
are back, and that was All Your Love by Papa Soul. So I have to ask you, that song was, actually, I was jumping around because I liked it. I was getting my groove on. That was cool.
All right.
I did. I liked that. I'm like, oh, yeah, I was feeling it. So what was your inspiration for that song?
Absolute pure romance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I was feeling it. My husband was like, ooh, I like that.
You know, sometimes you're, you know, you're in the studio, you're working the long hours, and it just kind of dawns on you, you know, what some of the sweetest, most alive things are, and that's love, romance, and just the touch, the scent, you know, of a woman.
Mhm. Yeah, and it's funny because it's kind of like, I don't know. I really like the instrumentals. Now, you created those?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I produce all of my music, and, you know, I just go from, you know, go from what I feel.
I do. I like that. I like the vibe of it, and I really enjoyed it. Now, my question is, so you obviously can sing, and you can write this music, and you've got your track. So how did the voiceover come into it?
Well, I learned that as a musician, you really kind of, you know, if you kind of want to work consistently,
you want to eat, pay bills. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, you know, as challenging as that can be, you know, but you really have to be able to do more than just play music. You want to be able to be across the board, and any skill that you have to offer is a great addition to your arsenal, if you will. And, you know, I learned that, you know, I could do, I was always asked to stand up in front of people and do certain things, you know, whether it's, you know, speaking out at functions or being asked to host things, actually host an access show on cable, on Comcast, and just kind of being able to stand up and project. And, you know, I learned that I have the ability to use my voice in that way, and I wanted to add it. So I began to do voiceovers with different companies and clients.
So, and obviously you have a very unique voice. It's very crisp, it's very clear, and it's got the, I mean, and the thing is, your voice is what blows my mind, because some people, they just have that one sound. And to hear someone with your deepness and your swagger and your voice, and then you hear what you can do with it to make it sound like Percy and like Sheila, and you're like, what? You know, it's really amazing that you control your voice that way, and that it has, you know, so many multifacets to that as well. Because that's not something that a lot of people can figure out. You know what I mean? They have that one sound, they do that one thing, and for you to be able to channel it into other areas that can help you in your profession, that also is a testament to your ability and your talent. Now, has that been something that you've been able to do consistently, the voiceovers?
Yes, sometimes, like as of recently, it's been seasonal. I have to say it's been more seasonal because I don't know if it's, you know, the economy or just, you know, my desire and dire need of an agent, but it's definitely something that when I get it, it's really good. I get linked up with some really good companies, and they pay really well, and I'm really blessed to be able to have that, you know, as an ability to do. But I would definitely love to get more, a lot more of that work.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because in our area it seems that it's like that. It's like faster famine. You've seen that, like, from around March or April, all the productions start, and then it tapers down towards the end of November, beginning of December, and then there's nothing. So then that's when you have to start to be creative and be able to do that. Now, do you ever perform live for people as far as your music?
Yes, I do live performances. Lately, I've been more in the studio, just kind of composing and, you know, just kind of stacking up the library of music so it can be used for different things. I have submitted songs for movie scores and things that have been accepted into different companies like Music Supervisor. They actually find music for different movies and TV series, and they place artists like myself, places like Pump Audio, been greenlit for them as well. So and a lot of the other clients that I have on papasoullive.com, my website, you know, more info there. But yeah, I've been able to you know, really just, you know, just be you know, blessed enough to be able to you know, use that avenue and that venue as well.
Now, I also hear that you also produce. You're also a producer as well.
Yes.
Do you produce for other artists besides yourself?
Yes, I'm always looking to, you know, a producer really has a great time at just kind of putting things together. One of the reasons, one of the benefits of the Can Do Band is that I was able to kind of be the maestro of just putting different things together that didn't just focus on my face, just kind of, you know, but as far as other artists, I love producing other artists because you kind of get a gel of a different sound. You know, you put, you know, the sound of someone else with your sound, and that synergy and that energy, just kind of being able to come up with a different groove pattern and just allow yourself to, you know, be immersed in someone else's creative world and do something collectively as artists.
That's That's excellent. Now, I can't imagine why you haven't, quote-unquote, blown up yet, because you have just so much talent and so many versatility with the type of music that you do, the production, the filming, the writing, the producing, the voiceovers, that it's definitely, I think it's something that's in the coming, because there's no way a talent as great as yours is going to continue to be, quote-unquote, undiscovered. And I guess you're going to be one of those, you know how we hear, oh, he was an overnight success. Yeah, 10, 15-year overnight success. But
right.
I can just see you going on to some amazing things because, one, your voice and just your creative flow and your music and your just that vibe, it's different. You know, it's not cookie cutter. It's not something that, is that so-and-so? No. It's one of these where you're like, whoa, who is that? And you don't sound like anybody else. If that makes sense. It's just very unique, it's very different, and it's good. And I really hope that you find that agent quickly, because we need to get you out there, because more people need to definitely hear about you and your amazing projects and everything that you've got going. What projects do you have coming up that you'd like our listeners to know about?
Well, as always, got more Can Do Band coming your way. Also have more music. I've already completed two new CDs that I plan to release online at CD Baby, and you can also get that at my website, www.papasoullive.com. And the CDs are, one is hip-hop, gospel, R&B, and another, and it's called Faith, and the second one is an a cappella version of spiritual music as well, and it's called A Joyful Noise.
That's amazing. Now, a cappella is one of my things that I can barely harmonize if I'm squished between two really good people that I can pitch off of. And when that was me. It's like, all right, I'm a femur. You put me between the tenor guy and the really deep voice girl, and if I can pitch off one of them, I'm good.
Right.
Hear someone actually sing a cappella, and the funny thing is that I hear some people when they're singing a cappella, it takes you a minute or two to realize there's no music. Because they're that good. And I can see, you know, you having that type of voice. And it's got to be very hard to do that.
Well, it's definitely a technique involved. You have to, you kind of have to really know yourself as an artist. You have to kind of know your range. You have to kind of know your particular style. And I must say that it was a lot better for me that I did the a cappella spiritual album called A Joyful Noise after I finished the R&B gospel hip-hop musical version called Faith, because I was kind of in a zone, and I kind of just continued to stream that creativity, and it was very positive, very spiritual, and I basically just kind of set a particular technique that allowed me to build on what I had in place. The music is very melodic. It's very fluid. You know, it kind of engulfs you in a lot of different you know, nice melodies, and the message is the main thing above all. It's very positive. It's just drawing people to Christ and the love of God, and it's just basically trying to get people to understand that they're not here alone. You know, but there's always you know, a brighter way.
That's an excellent message to send out. And on that note, I can't believe the whole hour just flew by, because you're just so amazing. I definitely have to have you back. Oh, there goes my cue lady telling me I have 90 seconds. I mean, I definitely have to have you back, so make sure
Absolutely. We
stay in contact. I want to have you back after you drop the CDs. We can get you some promo work on that so the listeners can get to hear you. And I would love to hear some of your a cappella we can share with our listeners as well. Any shout-outs before we part ways?
Oh, yeah, I'd like to give a shout-out to God, always, first and foremost, for just blessing me with the ability to share from one soul to another, and to Charlie A. for being an excellent supporter of artists like myself and really being a sweet soul to help support and get the word out there for people like myself.
That's awesome. Well, Papa Soul, thank you so much for being on my show, for our listeners, to coming in, to everybody in the chat room. And on that note, all I can say is, do not let anybody ever steal your dreams away. And we're going to cue off with Papa Soul's Caribbean Queen. Enjoy. Have a great night, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. You too, Charlie.
We are. wanna be because it feels so right.